We're going to turn to God's word now. I'm going to get you to open up Mark's gospel, Mark chapter 8. We're going to begin to read at verse 27. Over the course of the summer when I've been speaking, I have been thinking about some aspects of Jesus and his ministry. Today I'm thinking about Jesus as the man who lays down, throws down a challenge to us, who speaks to us in that way, and indeed it's what we do with that challenge. So Mark chapter 8, and we're going to read from verse 27, and let's hear God's word. Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" And Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory and with the holy angels." And we pray that the Lord would add his blessing upon his word. Amen. Maybe just got that Bible passage open and start with a question and asking and wondering what your ultimate motivation in life is. What's the thing that guides you, as it were? I think, maybe to cut to the chase, that for a lot of us, it's probably simply that we want to be happy. It's the thing that drives us. We want to be content. We want to have the things that enable us to be content. And so a lot of that is because then we want to have certain things. If you're of a certain age, you will remember Freddie Mercury and what he sang about. If you're probably early 20s, if I begin to place this one, you might remember Sharpay in High School Musical, who sang something similar. Or Alistair, you haven't a clue who Sharpay is, but you do know Freddie Mercury. But the theme of both of those songs is, "I want it all." So you can have stuff. And by having the stuff, you might assume that it's this thing that's going to make me happy. So you can really, there's a, maybe even a, you can finish this sentence yourself. "I will be happy if I get this, or if this happens to me." It could be something to do with your job. It could be something to do with your home. It could be something in your family. And so we do want to have it all together. We want to have it nice. We want to be content. We want to be happy. And then at times we come across the words of Jesus, which seem to jar a little bit. So, I mean, I don't think there's any other way of describing these words of Jesus. If you look with me at verse 34, because these words do, they really do confront us in that way, because Jesus comes into our situation and he says to us directly to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. That's verse 34. And my question to us today is, what do we do when the words of Jesus really intrude into our experience and what it is that we feel that we want. Because these words can be uncomfortable and deeply challenging. At times might even feel that they get under our skin a little bit. And that's the challenge that we... If you know and love Jesus and you want to follow Jesus, there's a lot about Jesus that is attractive and you want, maybe even as part of the church, there's something about it that's familiar and that's pleasant, and you get something out of it, and you come and you're part of this place. It's a big bit of who we are. Ultimately, of course, we know that we need saved from our sins if we believe in those eternal realities, heaven and hell, and we know that Jesus came into this world to deliver us and to show us how to get to heaven, to be the way that we can get to heaven. And Jesus stepped into that place. He paid the price for us. And even though we might in our heads agree with all of that and want all of that, and there's a lot that's attractive about that, still when we read some of these words of Jesus, they can really cut across us. So even when we like what Jesus has to say, there are some things that we really struggle with, like verse 34, where it's very clear here where Jesus is saying, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, follow me. And sometimes we just don't want to do that. We just want to ignore that verse. We want to ignore verses that are like it, things that might cause us to deviate from what we would naturally feel that we want to do in life, things that make us happy, that we think make us happy. And so this teaching of Jesus comes at a very significant point in his experience with his own disciples. They were just beginning to understand what Jesus was getting at, beginning to see where he was going, beginning to really believe that this was going to get somewhere. And then Jesus says this, and you can imagine at that point, because when you read on into this story, you can see and understand Peter's reaction. Because when Jesus says this, particularly when he goes on to say about how he needs to suffer, read verse 31. It says that he then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and after 3 days rise again. You can imagine when Peter first heard that he did take Jesus aside and say, it doesn't need to be that way. Now, you'll know that I'm relatively time not long back from Disney. There's some other people who have been in the environment of Disney over this past wee while. And I can imagine when Peter's thinking this, and he's imagining what Jesus could do, and when people are really beginning to grasp what Jesus is about, and he's saying, this could be really good. Jesus, people are beginning to understand what you're doing, and they can see what you're doing. They can see these miracles, and they will follow you. They will follow you anywhere. This could be like the 3 p.m. parade at Disney, where everybody's there and everybody's happy and it's all going the right way. You don't need to do any of this suffering stuff. This is not the stuff that we want. And yet, it's part of what Jesus was definitely and clearly saying to Peter. So he says in verse 33, get behind me, Satan. You don't have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. So Jesus is really saying to Peter, you know, Peter, you're interested in following me. Well, let's see where that goes. And he's been saying the same ever since. He's been saying the same to ourselves. Who wouldn't want to follow Jesus? Who wouldn't want to follow someone who could heal someone? Who wouldn't want to follow someone who could raise the dead? Who wouldn't want to follow someone whose teaching everyone recognized that there was something different about this guy? And yet Jesus, Peter might think here, has to go and ruin it all by saying, verse 34, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. So as we think about what some of this means when Jesus is talking about self-denial, it's being the opposite of what the world wants, because the world is saying, look after yourself. Put yourself first. Make sure you're happy. Make sure you're content. So if you want something, go for it. If you feel you want promotion at work, walk over anybody and make sure you get it. If you want to have the latest bit of gadgetry, whatever it is, then just put it on your credit card because you deserve to have it right now. And there is nothing that you could desire that you shouldn't have. At least that's what the world tells us. You need to put yourself first. Now, I should say at the outset is that don't be thinking that God is miserable and that God is against you having nice things or nice experiences. Because even when you read the account of building the temple in the Old Testament, remember the number of artisans who were there, craftsmen who were there, and the emphasis that was placed on making the place beautiful and attractive. So God is not against any of these things, but it's our contemporary fascination, obsession with having everything just as we want it, that Jesus is maybe giving the counterbalance to us here. And so he's talking about self-denial. He's also talking about cross-carrying. Now, that image might mean nothing to us, but back in Jesus' day, that really meant something because they could understand, because they saw what that involved. It's about a man carrying a cross, carrying the means of his own execution, a man who was not in control of his own destiny and going where other people were making him go. So by taking that picture, what Jesus is actually getting at is that when we come to Jesus and we offer ourselves to Jesus and we surrender ourselves to Jesus, we have to recognize is that I'm no longer in control, and we just don't like that. That's why, again, some of these words of Jesus that we would rather forget, because I want to be in control. I want to know what's happening in my own life, and I don't want to be at the beck and call of God. Even though there's much about God that I like, I don't want to listen fully. So these words of Jesus are a challenge. They're contrary to what the world thinks, because the world thinks you should get what you want, when you want, as you want it. And people who are not Christians, if you're not a Christian here today, or certainly if you've got lots of friends who aren't Christians, they will never understand what's written about here. Because they will never understand you thinking about others and putting others first. They will never understand you even giving your money away. Maybe when they hear someone in the street rattling a can and they'll put a pound in it and they'll feel good about themselves. But to the extent that Jesus calls us to give of our own cash and our own money and to invest that in the kingdom of God, people who are not Christians will never understand that. They will also never understand you giving up your time. You know, time that you could use on yourself and looking after yourself and doing what you want to do. Someone who's not a Christian will never understand you giving that away and investing that in the kingdom of God. So that at the earlier on in our announcements, I was talking about service and service within the church here and things that you could do that enlarge or advance the kingdom of God. People will never understand you doing things like that because it's taking something that is precious to you. Why should you not use that on yourself? But the question, when we really focus down on what Jesus is talking about here, is are we really prepared for the whatever, wherever this takes us? And that's the question that we really need to pose to ourselves. As part of our service today, we had a little focus on a church in Iran, and we were reminded that for some people, some parts of the world, it costs everything to follow Jesus. There was a reference in that to some people who had actually given their lives because they follow Jesus. Have you ever thought to yourself, when thinking about people who have done that, could I do that? I mean, what would happen if someone forcibly asked me that question and the option was to say I don't know Jesus and live, or to say I want to follow Jesus and die? what would I do in that moment? Because that's what Jesus, in many ways, is talking about in verse 35. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. I guess you'd never really know what you would do, how you would answer in that moment. You might hope that you would stand up for Jesus and honor Jesus, but you'd never quite know. But what I can say today is that you can have an indication about what you would do on that day by assessing what you do right now. Because if you are not prepared to give up watching a TV program and to take the time and to go and visit someone that you know who is struggling and to be with that person and to help that person, but if you are not prepared to forgo your favorite TV program to do that, you will know that if on the final day you are asked, will you honor Jesus or will you not, you will know that you won't. Or if you're not prepared to leave the house and to serve God in some way, in a Christian capacity, if it's in this church or in some other way, but your motivation for doing that is to serve and to honor Jesus, you will know that if you're not prepared to leave the house to do that, you will also know that on the final day, if you were asked, will you honor Jesus, you will know that you won't. If you're not prepared to invest in other people, right now, you will know that you will not honor Jesus with that big ultimate question. If you're not prepared to forgo some thingamabob right now, you'll know that you will never be prepared to honor Jesus and to give up your life. If you're not prepared to forgo a friendship because it may run the risk of losing some street cred, or that by speaking of Jesus to them that it will endanger that friendship, you will know that on a future day, should that ever come, that you would never be able to honor Jesus. So every time you do forgo something, or you don't go somewhere because you're honoring Jesus, you will know that you are doing that because you are putting Jesus first. And all the tiny little decisions that you make in life, you are honoring Christ in doing those things. But if we won't give up those things for Jesus now, we never will in the future. Now, that's one way of looking at this passage and thinking very personally about it. But I have another question that comes into my mind with this, and it's a challenge as well. Because if it's really hard to follow Jesus, and Jesus doesn't hide that, and it's hard enough for me, and that's a struggle that I face, can I deny myself and follow Jesus? Have you ever thought, how can you ever convince other people who aren't Christians? How could you ever convince someone who's not a Christian to follow Jesus if it's going to involve suffering and difficulty and hardship and surrendering your own desires and your own wants and putting Jesus first? Why would anybody ever want to be part of that party? When God speaks clearly and definitely to us, how do we respond? Do we listen to what he says? A lot of it is easy and we like it. But what about these hard bits in the Bible? And I think it's even more critical when we come to that point, maybe even where we follow Jesus for the very first time, where Jesus is saying, I've done this for you. I've died. I've stood in your place. I've given my life for you. Will you follow me? You know, when Jesus calls any of us to do that, and he calls all of us, he doesn't do that on the basis of nothing. At the end of the day, he does that on the basis of eternity, because he says, I've opened heaven for you Heaven is the gift. Eternal life is the gift of what I have done for you. And basically, it comes down to the question for us, and when we think about life and what we want out of life, do you want your version of the best of life? Or would you rather have Jesus' version of the best of life? And the answer to all of that, I guess, won't be made apparent to the point at which Jesus returns. And you can imagine at that point, when we think of all that we have and all that we have amassed and all that we've done, and we look at all those things, will those things seem as important on the day that Jesus returns? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you speak truth. Truth at times that can be unsettling, even unnerving. Lord, we always have the option. We can listen, we can go with you, or we can just turn the other way. But Lord, as you work in our lives and in our hearts, and your truth works powerfully in us, may we know that you are speaking. The King of heaven, the one who is everything, the one who must be our everything. So, Lord, as we consider such things, we do so on the basis of eternity. Help us to see heaven. Help us to contemplate what life is really about. But Lord, what we want today is simply to see Jesus. Focus our eyes on Jesus, knowing that he is enough for us. Amen.